going on, podcast world? My name is Eric D. Seals, and you are listening to A Filmmaker's Guide to Freelancing. Excited about this episode because it's a question that I asked over and over again, and nobody would ever give me the answer to. And so that means that somebody else has that question, and I can help them since I have a little bit more clarity to what this answer is. What is that question, might you ask? Growing my client list. Where do you get your clients from? How can I get more clients? That is the number one question that I was always asking. I still ask it to a certain degree, but I was always asking that when I first started because nobody had a clear answer. Nobody said, this is how you get more clients. Do this thing. Or if someone did have that answer, it was probably a scheme. It was probably a way for them to make money. And I fell for some of those before. And I feel like it's important for people to know how you get more clients. Not saying that I have the golden and only answer, but what I can do is provide some insight on what I've experienced for over a decade on how we've gotten new clients. And you're actually not going to like the answer because it takes time. Actually, I just gave away my whole podcast right there. It takes time to grow your client list. It does not happen overnight. And we all want to know, and because of the internet age, we want to know, how can I do it faster? How can I do it quicker? And while some might be able to, you know, get a fast forward start because they're working with somebody and they get recommended for a whole bunch of jobs, there's, for most of us, there's one way, and that's hard work. And hard work. I laugh and say that because I know if I was hearing that when I was first starting, I would be like, yo, there's got to be a better way. Well, there is a better way. And I'm going to break down a list of ways that you can increase your client list. And I'm going to talk about how some of them have been beneficial to us. So I have a couple different categories that I'm going to go through. But I feel like nobody's talking about this, and I feel like we need to talk about it. We need to put it in the air. We need to give our experiences so more people can know what they're in for, because if you want to be in video production, you're not doing it because of the money. There's many more ways to make a great amount of money in a short amount of time, and I'll tell you, video is not on the top 100 list. So you're doing this for a different reason. You're doing it because you have a passion, and that's not a bad thing. You know, it's good to love what you do, but to do that, you need to get more clients. And so one of the important things that people need to know, and I didn't realize this at first, I always thought that my client list would come from one area. If I do this one thing, I'm going to get more clients. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Getting a good client list is similar to what you hear people talk about with investing. You need to diversify your portfolio to be safe. You need to diversify your portfolio to have more wealth. You need to have different ways that you're getting clients so that if one starts to fall short, you have some over here, you have some over there. So we're going to get into some of those different things and talk about them in detail. But as you're starting to build your client list, the other important thing that I want people to know is there can be an opposite effect. There can be an opposite effect of this where you're getting all your clients from one source. That's almost, I won't say that's worse, but that's a bad situation too. Because if that source closes, if that source moves to another job, if that source no longer likes your work, you're not out of business. So it's really important to make sure that you're getting your clients from a plethora of areas to ensure security for your future, financially, emotionally, for business enterprising. You want to have many different ways that you're getting your clients. So what is that list, Eric? Okay, I'll give it to you. So here's the breakdown. Now, I'm not saying that this is the only breakdown of ways that you can get clients, but I feel like most of these encompass the major ways that you can get new people into your business. So that list is SEO, search engine optimization, Social media, I'm separating that on purpose, even though it's still on the internet. Staffing websites, cold emails. And for cold emails, I said searching for RFPs. I'm going to get into that as well. Previous work and word of mouth / referrals. That's six different ways, six different avenues that you can have new clients enter into your video production, freelance, whatever you have company. So I have these ranked from the least amount of success we've had to the most amount. It doesn't mean that you can't have more success in these areas. I'm just going over our experience. And starting out with SEO, which is at the top of the list, has been, I feel, the least quality as far as getting us new clients. You know, for DigiFay and for myself as a freelancer, you know, I dabbled in SEO. And from what I know about SEO, to do it correctly, it takes a lot of work, which is nothing wrong with that. But it's not just putting a couple backlinks on your website and then calling it a day. If you go on Fiverr and pay someone $5 to give you backlinks, that's not going to change your SEO, you know, ranking from, you know, page 100 to page 50. It's not even going to happen. So there are so many companies that have resources and money to put towards SEO specialists or a marketing company that can do this on a regular basis, because I believe, from what I know, nobody has a perfect answer, but good SEO is an ongoing thing. It takes time. You got to put updated content on your website on a regular basis. And so when you search for video production company, I don't think we hit the top 100, but that hasn't stopped us. And so I put SEO at 0%. Next is social media. And I have that at 3.4%. I think it has to do with a couple of things. Number one, the age of your company. I feel like if you're a younger company, this is probably a higher percentage for you. I also think it's based on what type of work you do. Wedding videographers can do well on social media. People who do music videos can do well on social media. But there are certain type of content that maybe it's more longer form. You have to digest the content a little bit more. You're not going to be able to impress somebody with telling a story within, you know, 1 minute or a couple minutes or 30 seconds. And so I'm actually putting much more effort into our social media presence, as you can see from this video and stuff we're doing at DigiFay, because I want this number A, to be higher, and B, I want to diversify our portfolio a little bit more and make sure that we're getting clients from different areas. And so to be successful on social media, you have to put content up on a regular basis. You have to impress people. You know, you have to respond to DMs, and it can be a great avenue. I mean, truth be told, there's a lot of people who only get their work from social media, and they're getting DMs every left and right. A lot of photographers. Photography is, I think, even better on social media and Instagram, because you're getting that visual right away and I don't have to sit and wait, and I can scroll past and within 5 seconds, I think that's a great photographer or not. So I think social media is great. I think that the misconception is there's a lot of companies that are doing very well that have no social media presence at all. And it'll surprise you, because you're thinking, man, they don't put no post up and I don't see any content that they have. But they have all these other areas so locked down that they don't even need social media. Unfortunately, that's not going to last forever. And so for companies that, or freelancers that maybe are a little bit older in the game and they have an established client list, you know, those clients start to, I won't say pass on, but they start to phase out. And so I think it's important to make sure to get on the next wave. And this is not even the next wave. It's currently here. And so I think social media is important, but know that you can have a very successful career and not have the strongest social media game. Next up is staffing websites. I have that at 3.4%. So when I think of staffing websites, I'm talking about stuff like Production Hub, Staff Me Up, Mandy.com, Fiverr, 99 Designs. The problem that I have with staffing websites, there's different types, but when you're bidding for a project with not only hundreds of people, but people all over the world, a lot of people who are going on those websites for the certain types are going there to get the lowest price and the biggest bang for their buck. And if you're trying to build your company, if you're trying to build your business, you can't operate based on being the lowest common denominator. You're not going to win that game, because there's always someone who's going to do it cheaper than you can. or will. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's part of the game. And so the staffing websites where I'm bidding with like 10, 15 people, 100 people, people all across the world, I stay away from those. I tried it for a little bit, but they don't work well to me. Now, some of the other sites like Mandy Production Hub, Staff Me Up, I've had a little bit of success, but not as much as I would want for me to spend more time with it. I've received some jobs from those platforms, but it's definitely not the main source of keeping food on the table. I think staffing websites are good to, again, it depends on what type of freelancing position you are. Everyone's going to be a little bit different, but I find that a lot of the staffing websites are there so that they can get subscriptions so that they can make money. And that's their business model, which is, I understand it. It's cool. It makes sense. But it doesn't work the best for what I've done previously and what we're doing in the future. So I feel like we will continue to use them, but we're going to put the least amount of effort so it's not taking up too much time, because I also want to put more time into the things that are working great. Next up, which is one of my favorite, I'm not going to lie, I almost don't even want to tell people how great this works. But that's what this whole podcast is all about. That's what my whole goal is. And there's enough work out here for all of us so we can all win. But cold emails and searching for video projects online actually works. Several years ago, I had a super hardcore grind where I was sending like 25, 50 emails out a day. You know, I built this list of all these companies that I could reach out to, and I was just going hard. And based on those cold emails, I learned that there's more value in looking for no's than waiting for a yes. And that sounds funny. How does that make sense? Let me tell you. So if you're basing sending out cold emails on how many yeses I can get, you're going to get depressed very quickly, because the amount of no's that you're going to get are going to be out of this world. People are going to be super disrespectful. Sometimes people are going to threaten you. Yes, threaten you for sending out a cold email. That and searching for that yes will actually mess you up, I think. I think you need to reverse engineer that, and you need to actually do the opposite. You need to be looking for a number of no's. So my first goal was, I'm going to try to get 100 no's a week and see what happens. And so number one, that means that I'm sending out at least 100 emails. And I feel like everything in life is a contact sport. The better you do is based on how many people you contact. You contact more people, you're going to have better results. Everybody's a no if you never email them. And so I had a little email script, and it was like two paragraphs. It was real short. And when I say two paragraphs, I mean like each paragraph had like one or two sentences. I made it as short as possible because these people don't know me, and I need to get right to the point, but I need to be clear. And so I should pull it up, but my email script was along the lines, this is my name, this is what I do, here's a link to our demo reel. If you need video, let me know. And what I learned from that experience of trying to get 100 no's a week was not almost possible for two reasons. Number one, many people wouldn't respond. So I didn't count that. It had to be an actual no. Number two, there were a lot of people, surprisingly enough, that were very interested. I got responses like, oh, you hit us up at the right time, or we got this new project coming up. I mean, obviously there'll be a lot of people that says, hey, we already have a team. And my response to people who said we have a team already was, hey, I completely appreciate, you know, I appreciate the response, always being respectful. Thank you very much. If anything changes in the future, don't hesitate to reach out to me, you know. But the amount of people that actually responded with a yes was actually surprising. I would say I ran some numbers back in the day, but it was at the point where we were getting at least like 6 to 8% of people who were interested. And that doesn't sound like something fantastic, but that's actually, to me, amazing. Because, you know, maybe one or two of those people would turn into a client. And those clients and those projects happen to be some of my big first projects financially. And so if I started to calculate my time on how much I was spending on sending those emails and then how much that, you know, lottery would be once we got a large project, it was worth the time. And so I can look back at our client list and I feel like we have about 5 clients now that we still work with today that we got 3 or 4 years ago because of cold email. And so since a lot of people aren't doing it, a lot of people are focusing on LinkedIn and social media and networking events. This is the, you know, it's not low representation. I'm forgetting the word that I'm wanting to use, which is not uncommon for me when I'm speaking, but underpriced attention. That's what I meant to say. That's a Gary V thing. There's a lot of underpriced attention right now to cold emails. The other side of that is you can search online for projects. If you start doing Google searches, you know, putting in videography or putting in freelancer, you can come up on people across the nation who are looking for people to work, because, you know, it could be government agencies, it could be large corporations who don't have a network. And we have found several projects just by searching for them, which is out of this world. You would think you would never find a project just by searching for it, but it happens. Okay. Next up, previous work. So previous work falls under, obviously, thing that you work that you've completed previously, but it's a little bit different than that. So I feel like we have 2 different types of projects. We have our client work and then we have creative work. So previous work can be anything that we've already created, but I have found that a lot of our clients who have come to us because of something that they saw was from a video that we did internally. A video we did just because we felt creative that day. A video that we did just because we had some motivation to tell a story. While we do get people who want us to work on their projects based on another client project that we did, a lot of it is based on stuff that we're doing ourselves. Why is that? Because it can look cool. It can look cool. You don't have a client saying, make sure you add this person and make sure you do this and make sure you do that. And so that's why I encourage people to create more of their own work, spec work, ideas that you have, fun stuff. The client work is important. You need to be able to show that you have the ability to, you know, work with a large corporation and execute a vision, which is, again, that's very important. But when it comes to previous work, I hate that I even have to say this, but make sure that your previous work is online. It's easy to view. We have that problem all the time. We don't update our content on a regular basis, but make sure that you're showing it on social media. Make sure you're showing it on your website. If I'm interested in working with you as a client, I'm going to go to your website and look at your previous work. Or if you're sending me a proposal, give me examples of your previous work. So what you've done in the past, you know, I tell people sometimes when you're working on a project and the value's not there, but it's a good project that other people might want, put a little extra effort into it, because you might be able to show that off to somebody in the future and say, this is what I did for client X. And really, a lot of competitors like to use the same freelancer once they find out that they do good work. So previous work for us, I didn't say it earlier, is at 28%. So it's a high percentage. A lot of the people, you know, almost 1/4 of the people that come through our door are looking at previous work that we've completed through our website, through social media or whatever, and say, I want you to make that for me. So it makes sense, very much so in a portfolio business. And so make sure your stuff is up to date so people can see the greatest things that you've done. And do not, let me repeat, do not have everything that you ever worked on your website. Just keep it to the top level stuff. Last but not least, word of mouth and referrals, which for us comes in at 55%. So when I say that number, you know, a couple things run through my mind. The first thing is you're doing something right. People want to tell other people about you. People want to say, you need a video done, you need to go to this person. So that's a compliment. And I appreciate that. And I have to always remember that that's the number one thing. And that's where a lot of our work comes from. The fact that it's 55% concerns me, though. So I talked a little bit earlier about diversifying your portfolio. We have most of our work coming from word of mouth. So we're doing the right thing, but that also means that we're not spending enough time in these other areas to balance it out a little bit more. Because what if people stop referring us? Business will close down from that standpoint. That's not good. And the other problem with word of mouth and referrals is if you're trying to build your cash flow, if you're trying to build your company, you can't sit and wait around for people to refer you. That's what I was doing for a long time, especially when I started. I was just waiting for people to call me. Hey, call me. Let me do a video. Yeah, I got a video for you. Oh, you need a video? I can do it for you. If you look at your year income, if you look at your gross revenue and you're having these large dips and valleys and you're looking at your quarters and you're like, man, this quarter is great, but this quarter sucks and this quarter is great. I think that's because of this. You're sitting around and waiting too much for somebody to call you. You need to be working on your SEO, your social media, your staffing website, cold emails, your previous work. You need to work on those other areas because if you're doing good work and people are reaching out to you, that's a great thing. But now you need to spend more time on the other things. And when it comes to word of mouth and referrals, that means when you're on the project, you're doing the right thing. People are happy with you. They're having a great experience, you know? So that work has already been completed. Spend your time on the regular, you know, spend your time weekly working on those other areas. And so, you know, one of the issues that I've seen with freelancers is they're focusing too much on the creative side. Now, I feel like I almost would get hit over the head by saying that, but if you're a freelancer, you're a solopreneur. You're a business person. We don't like to think of ourselves as business people, but you are a business person. You have to bring in a certain amount of money. You are providing a service that people are paying you for. That service happens to be creating cool videos or graphics or logos or, you know, campaigns, whatever it might be, but you are a business. And we focus so much on just making sure that the creative looks good. We don't have thought or time on these other things. I remember I was working with this young dude that we worked with before. He has fantastic work. And he's like, he hit me up. He's like, man, I am not getting work. Nobody's hitting me up. And I'm like, that's crazy because your work is fantastic. And I said, you know, how much are you reaching out to people? And he's like, none. I said, spend 30 minutes a day and send out 5 emails a day and see what happens. Because you're spending so much time on your portfolio, on camera gear, on, you know, being out in the field, which you still should be doing those things. And a majority of your time should be coming from those things. But how much are you spending on getting more people to know about you? Because I can't hire you if I don't know you. So your great work isn't going to hit every single, you know, IP internet protocol internets out there. You got to have more people see you. Within 2 weeks, he hit me up and he said, I got the biggest job offer that I've ever had before. And it was just from someone that I reached out to. And I just started reaching out to folks. It works. Everybody has different networks. Start reaching out to people. Show them your work. I almost think of some hip hop artists that I used to work with. If you've ever worked with a hip hop artist, they're super talented. They're super great. But one thing that they do is they always tell everybody that they're a rapper. You could be at the grocery store. Hey, did you know that I rap? You could be at Six Flags Great America. Hey, did you know that I rap? You can be at a school luncheon. They'll be like, hey, did you know I rap? They're rapping everywhere. And while that might be annoying, they might run into that one person that'd be like, hey, you know, I got a showcase, or hey, I wanted to have you for the show. So I think about that all the time. I do a bad job of it. I needed to do it more. But let people know what you offer and what you do. And I think that can make a big difference. So to wrap up this whole episode and kind of bring it to a close, the answer to your question of how do I get more clients is there's not one way to do it. And that's not the answer you want to hear, but hopefully it's freeing because you know that there's multiple ways to do it. And so if you want to get more clients, take some time and look at how many people have you gotten from SEO? How many people have you gotten from social media and the rest of the list? Because you should be spending and dividing your time among those different things. And it's going to take some time, but honestly, after a year or two, it sounds like a long time, but it's really not. After a year or two, you're going to really start to see people that you reach out to a year ago start hitting you up the following year. And so if you're really investing in this game, if you're really investing in your future, you have to start planting seeds. And that's how I really look at this whole situation. When I reach out to people and they say no, I don't think of it as a no. I'm thinking I planted a seed in that person that says, you know what, they're saying no right now, but if they need a video person later, they're going to think about that dude who randomly hit me up, you know, or the person who said, I might have something down the road, I'm going to email them again and plant that seed. And so if you want to be successful, if you want to get more clients, if you're thinking there's one way I you know, click this link and I'm going to get more clients, you've already failed and you should probably quit the game and never touch a camera again. If you really want to excel in this, then you have to spend more time on your marketing, spend more time reaching out to people, and look at that list and say, this is how I'm getting all my clients. All my clients are coming from SEO, for example. I need to start working on my social media and my staffing websites and spread it out a little bit. There's no one answer, I promise you. Nobody who's super successful in this game has their clients come from one area. They come from everywhere. So I think that would have helped me when I was starting. I hope it's helped you. If you have any questions, please reach out to me and let me know. Maybe I missed something. Maybe I'm completely incorrect. Anybody who hears this and you're like, hey, man, I had a different experience, let me know. I would love to have a dialogue with you because I guarantee a lot of people who are doing well, it's a diversified portfolio. Yeah, that's all that I have. This is a podcast that I'm super excited about making. I was a little nervous about making this episode because I feel like I'm giving away all my secrets, but they're not really secrets. They're just tried and true things that a lot of people have done before me. If you have any questions, comments, hit me up on all the internets. You can find me. It's pretty simple. And this is a Filmmaker's Guide to Freelancing. I'm Eric D. Seals. And until the next episode...